morning and welcome to the Sussex County Council meeting, February 1st, 2022. First thing is to approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do not have any recommended changes today, but I would like to announce for the 1:30 afternoon public hearings, conditional use number 2279 filed on behalf of Ron Sutton has requested the council withdraw that conditional use. Again, I would not amend today's agenda, but I do want to make that announcement. At the 1:30 public hearing start, Mr. Whitehouse will go over that, and then council will make a decision.
Okay. Okay, motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Aye, we get motion carried. At the minutes of January 25th, any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, I do have correspondence. And the first one is from the Harry K. Foundation, thanking the council for its donation. And I believe that is the only one, yes.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council.
Excuse me, Mr. President, I did see another one attached here. My apologies. The cancer support community also thanked the council for the support.
Thank you, sir. Public comment. Now it's time for public comment. Anybody in the audience wants to address council, you have 3 minutes to bring up a subject up that we have some control over or interest in. Anybody care to speak? Anybody in the audience? Anybody in the audience? Operator, would you check online, please?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is the Carrying on the Circle Food Drive recognition. This is the time of year where we ask our folks to come in to be recognized for their volunteer efforts to raise food goods for our community members that are in need during the holiday season. We have quite a list here of folks we want to recognize. Mr. President, I have some plaques here that you can hand out. And this year we were able to raise over 20,000 food item goods that were distributed to local food banks and given to those in need. We're going to go in reverse order. I know we've asked folks to RSVP, so if I don't have you down here, please raise your hand. We'd like to get a picture with you and Mr. Vincent and certainly recognize you for your efforts. I'll start in reverse order with Sussex Academy. I think these are our top five. Sussex Academy raised 110 total food items. Little Einsteins of Millsboro raised 174 total food items. Georgetown Elementary School, 200 total food items. Nicole Pizza, $100, which equals 220 total food items. And Seaford High School, 230 total food items. Our representatives from Seaford here, I do have an RSVP. Come on down, we'll get a picture with Mr. Vincent.
There we go. Why don't you hold this? Why don't you come in here? I'll stand up here.
Make sure you smile.
Yeah. Good. Thank you all very, very much for all you do. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Can I get one more?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Next, we have Millsboro Middle School, 400 total food items. Our representatives from Millsboro Middle here. Come on down, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Smile, get your photo up. Thank you very much. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Next, we have Aloft Engineering, $145, equaling 425 total food items. Aloft is always volunteering to provide food items for the Carrying on the Circle efforts each year. Thank you.
As always, thank you guys very much.
Next is North Georgetown Elementary School, 466 items. H.O. Brittingham Elementary School, 550 items. Little Einstein's Georgetown, 561 items. And Long Neck Elementary School, 800 total food items. Do we have a representative from Long Neck?
Long Neck.
All right.
Morning.
Morning.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, and our top five for this year will go in reverse order, coming in fifth place, Colonial East Management, $600, which equals 1,320 items.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Steve.
Watch it.
Don't rush it.
I got to get taller. Just say yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay, coming in fourth place, Delmarva Christian High School, 1,389 total food items.
Olivia.
I'm
holding
that.
Good. I have pressure.
Thank you very much. Third place is Rehoboth Elementary School, 1,645 items. Anyone from Rehoboth here? Yes. Come on down. Second place and a constant top runner in each year's Caroling on the Circle event is First State Manufacturing Housing Association, $750, 1,650 total food items. Wow. Mr. Class. As always, thank you.
What? What do you want?
And coming in first place this year, I believe they were always a top three contributor, is the law firm Fuqua Willard Stevens and Straub, $1,000. Donation equaling 2,200 in total food items. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good one for the left page.
There you go.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in attendance that I named that we didn't have as RSVP? We do have certificates here. Anyone that I missed? Okay. Again, to all those that volunteered and contributed, thank you very much for all of your efforts. We raised over 20,000 food items this year for the needy. Congratulations and thank you. We couldn't do it without you. right, moving down the list, the county administrator's report for February 1, 2022. Item 1, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for December 2021 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 189 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of December. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Is Bob Bryant here? There he is. There you go. We'll move down to you before we get to public comment, before the public hearing here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. President, members of the Sussex County Council.
Good morning.
What you have before you are eight names of individuals who desire to serve as committee members on the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee for 2022. The objective of the committee is to establish and advise the County Council and airport management on policies and programs for the airport. Committee's purpose is to enhance the airport and to provide opportunities for involvement by individuals with aviation and business knowledge and experience. The committee serves solely as an advisory arm to the county and does not bind the Sussex County to any liability, whether contractual or otherwise, or to expend any county funds or to direct county staff. The committee is made up of 12 members. Four of those are employees of Sussex County. It is the eight remaining members that you are appointing today.
You have a motion, sir?
Yes, sir. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council appoints Ezra Rickards, Garrett Dernago, Rick Gardner, Larry Kelly, Jeffrey Reed, Mark Ryan, Ray Hopkins, and Scott Thomas to the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee for 2022.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I would yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Jennings, I want you to do yours real quick.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. Today, I'm requesting your approval to appoint a new member to our pension committee. The committee is made up of seven members, whoever serving the position of the finance director, county administrator, county human resource director, are always members of the committee. Two Sussex County community members, a current Sussex County employee and a retired Sussex County employee who currently receives a county pension, are also appointed by County Council to a four-year term. Mr. Dave Baker, who served on the committee in the capacity of a current pensioner, has resigned due to his recent appointment to the USDA's Rural Development Director for Delaware and Maryland. The role as a current county pensioner on the committee is primarily to be the eyes and ears of the current pensioners. Therefore, I wanted to recommend someone I know that was well-respected by the current and future pensioners. Thus, I'm recommending Ms. Robin Griffith as Mr. Baker's replacement, and I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council appoint Robin Griffith to the County Pension Committee for a four-year term.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thanks, Gina.
Thank you.
Now time for a 10:15 public hearing, Community Development Block Grant Program.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now's the time and place for a public hearing on the Community Development Block Grant Program. And there will be a short presentation given by Brandy Nauman. She will explain the program and take any questions from council. After that, any member of the public that would like to comment on this, free to do so. And then we will close the public hearing. Ms. Nauman.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am actually joined this morning by Mike Jones, our Rehabilitation Program Coordinator, to assist with the presentation. So this is a required part of our annual application for Community Development Block Grant funding. So bear with me as we do some background on the program. But this is referred to by us regularly as the CDBG program. Sussex County applies for this funding on behalf of municipalities and rural communities across Sussex County. The funding comes from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and is funneled through the Delaware State Housing Authority. This grant year, there's actually about $2.5 million that will be awarded to Kent and Sussex counties on a competitive basis. DSHA does govern this entire process through their consolidated plan, and the activities that are eligible for this funding are housing rehabilitation, sewer and water hookups, demolition, and some small infrastructure projects. So the basic guidelines of the program requires essentially, well, we typically have always used this funding for owner-occupied housing rehabilitation, which helps to maintain our existing housing stock. And our rehabs typically include roofing, doors, windows, electrical and plumbing upgrades, as well as some energy upgrades. In order to be eligible for funding, the home must be an owner-occupied primary residence, must be occupied by low to moderate income household, insured or insurable, and county taxes and utilities must be current. We are required to place a lien on the properties that we assist, and this is just to protect the federal funding to ensure that once we make our investment, that the home isn't sold for profit. So under $5,000 for emergency and hookups, there is no lien required. Anything less than $15,000 is a 5-year, zero interest, prorated, forgivable lien, and $15,000 to $40,000 is a 10-year, 0% interest, prorated, forgivable lien. So as far as the low to moderate income households, this is the, for 2021, our income guidelines. Those will be updated probably in about June for 2022. But right now, our ceiling is 80% AMI. So for a two-person household, you cannot make more than $48,100. For a four-person household, $60,100. And just a little bit of an update. COVID did put us behind a little bit. We have officially closed out our fiscal year 19, which is the county's fiscal year 20, really. But here's some of our statistics. We received about $1.7 million in CDBG and home dollars, and we worked in all of the areas listed. I won't read all of those, but several towns and rural communities, Cool Spring, Coverdale, South Old State Road, Cedar Creek, and then various scattered site areas. We assisted 154 households, 58% of them were disabled, 62% elderly, 73% were a female-headed household, 59% of them were less than 30% area median income. We serve a significant amount of households that are on a fixed income, and the 43% white, 57% black, and 2% Hispanic families. Our fiscal year 20, we are just about done as of the end of December. We've spent 91% of those funds and 57% of our home funding. Again, we worked in a variety of municipalities and rural communities. We worked in Coverdale, Diamond Acres, Possum Point, and Cedar Creek were our rural communities. We assisted 114 households. Again, you can see the breakdown there. It's pretty similar to the previous year. And just some additional notes. We've continued to see a pretty substantial increase in our federal funding from year to year. And so I do have to give a ton of credit to our staff at Community Development. Our contractors have been just rocking and rolling, spending this money and getting us caught up. We saw a 7.8% increase from 19 to 20 funds and a 12.8% from 20 to 21 funding. And again, you all at County Council provided $300,000 this current year to assist with emergency repairs. Our fiscal year 21 projects are well underway. And actually, since the end of December, we have obligated a significantly more funds than what's listed there. And we are working in Greentop, Holly Branch, Wester Hobeth, as well as some of our municipalities. So I'm going to have Mike do a quick update on the past year.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just a quick review of some of the things we like to talk about. Contractors, for instance, if any of you have tried to find a contractor to do anything with your own property, it can be a job right now, but we're having the same problem with us. We're able to keep the contractors we've had, but everybody's trying to take them off away from us to new construction and stuff, because so much new construction out there, so much money being made in new construction. But luckily, we'd be able to hold on to the, you know, 10, 12 contractors we work all the time with. Finding new contractors, that's something we've been really going after. The gentleman in our office, Brandon Hamilton, he's been really going after that vigorously. We actually even have brochures here on our counter, in the bid counter here in the county building, trying to find new contractors coming in. It's a little tough because it's the SAM.gov that you see there. What that is, that's another layer of licensing that the contractors have to do now, because they deal with government money. Government money, they have to have this another license. With our contractors, we're able to talk them through it, get them everybody signed up into it. But with new contractors, it's a little bit harder. It's another layer. Everybody has their license insurance. That's no big deal. But it's another layer, another license they have to get. And if you've ever dealt with contractors, anytime you add another layer, it can be a little bit difficult. So we have that problem sometimes. But we're working through it. Successfully, we're sold out to increase our project limits. And that means, I don't know if you noticed, or Brandy was just saying that we can go up to $40,000 now on a job. Because prices have gone up considerably, and the amount of labor has went up considerably as well. So the Housing Authority has let us go up that from $25,000 to $40,000, which has been a great help for us to get work done. Okay.
Pictures.
And with pictures, this, I'll bring a few pictures. This is just a few things that we deal with here. Just show you some things we've done throughout the year. Just a snippet of what we've been doing. This first one that we'd like to talk about first is the handicap ramps. And this is a lot with your money the council would give us, be able to do stuff like this. We get phone calls from a homeowner or maybe a family member that their mother or father's in the hospital, and they can't come home until they get a ramp to be able to get in and out of the house. So that's a big deal. And this is a ramp down at Diamond Acres that we've done. And that was a case. They've got a phone call. We needed it done right away, be able to get on that and take care of that. And that's from the county council. That's your money going at work right there. That's being able to do that. And the next one up. This is a house in out near Coverdale. It's a lady. She lived there, raised a family in this little house. And I don't know if you guys had ever heard of a Jim Walter home. Back in the day, Jim Walter built homes. And it was a unique guy. Actually, he had to leave here when our county actually went to codes and actually were checking on contractors. And he said, I'll see you guys later. But he built a house for people that couldn't get a house. This house didn't have a foundation. It was just stacked blocks underneath the house. It had been sitting there since the early 70s. The siding, they kept paint on it. It don't look too bad, but it's pressed cardboard is all it is. It's not even wood or anything. It's just pressed cardboard. So we took the siding off, and what we find is the only insulation they had on this house was a piece of tar paper. They had been there this whole time with tar paper as insulation. So we took it off, we insulated the house, and this is what the picture to right. And this is the finished job we did for the lady. I had to ask her, I said, how did you keep your house warm? Because, you know, as cold as it is now, it's cold, but we've had years past, a lot colder time. He said, well, we'd sit in the living room, we'd have a propane heater going and get an electric heater sitting, and we'd stay in the living room. That's what we say, because you couldn't stay in the rest of the house. And all they could do to keep the pipes from freezing up. But now she has a nice home, can live there, and she is tickled to death. And it's an awesome job we did there in Coverdale. And next, this is a house just in Seaford. I went there, and the lady says she apologized for what the house looked like. She said that just overgrown, she couldn't take care of it. She's an elderly person living by herself. I said, well, we'll see what we can do. She had T111 siding. If you ever have dealt with T111, when you have that much foliage around a house, it can't dry out, so it rots. And that's what was happening in her house. In the next picture, you have to finish what we did to her. Just the siding windows and cut everything back for her, put a new deck on for her. And now she says she can maintain the house. And it was a great win-win for her and her family. Actually, her family came out and met with me afterwards and just thanked me for being able to keep her mother in her house. And this is where they grew up at. And next, we have it's a house right here in Georgetown. We're doing some work there. It had a terrible leak in there, and we had to find the leak, like chase the leak down. And the leak was coming from the bottom, the top of the roof, and it was a unique building. There's a lot more work than involved to find a leak to take care of the problem. And we took care of her, and we didn't have a picture of the final, how they turned out. And it turned out really well. And that leak was running right down through the house, right into our living room, and she kept catching it in buckets. So it was something that really turned out as well. Next one, this is a house in Delmar. This is a unique house. A lady had lived there, had raised her family, her and her husband had, and her daughter had moved right next door to her just a few years ago, which was a blessing. I'll think back to that. But her roof leaked so bad that her daughter, every time it rained, she had to come over to her mom's house, go up into the attic, and he had all these basins all around that was catching water. So she dumped water and towed it downstairs and dumped it outside, and that's what she did all the whole time during the rain until we could get to put a roof on the house. The town of Delmar reached out to us and said, can you please help this lady? And she was on a waiting list, so we went there and took care of it. And of course, she had a lot of other problems, but that was her major problem. So then we have the finished product. That's her finished house there. And this is one of the ones we've talked about in the past, the ugly duckling thing, that she had the roughest house on her block, on her street. But now, since we got this is done for her, she's no longer the ugly duckling. I went by here just 2 days ago down this street, and you ought to see the difference in houses, how people, which were, they become the ugly duckling, now they're not that no more. And actually, by doing this house, how much our money has actually went out to that community, and they've fixed their own homes up now and done a great deal, which is really pretty cool. This house right in the town of Bridgeville, we worked on, is a lady and her three children. She had the asbestos siding on it. She had a bad roof. Really needed some work done, really bad for her. And the town of Bridgeville had reached out to us to help this person as well. And then we had the finished product here, what he did for her, put a new roof on, siding and windows and stuff. Just couldn't be happier. Now that the roof's not leaking, they have three kids in school, you don't have to worry about dealing with the water problems every time it rained. So this is the grant application we were working in. This is Brandy had spoke of in the beginning. We did approximately 12 public hearings between mid-November and mid-December. Went to the towns, met with every town, had a public hearing similar to what we're doing here with you guys today. And that was an ordeal to get that all done. And the waiting list. Went through all the waiting lists of the towns and make sure everything was okay. We had some towns had a little problem getting enough waiting lists because we have to have four people on a waiting list to be able to apply for that town. Even though we go to that town, if you don't have four people, we can't apply for you. That's not our rules, that's HUD's rules. So that's something we had to do, and some of them had a little bit of problem with that. And in our rural communities, we went through that and cleared them up and went through that and find out the ones that needed it the most. We have a number of communities we deal with. Now, we can't do them all every year, but we can go through on a rotation basis, and Brandy, myself, and the staff, it's really worked into that so we can do it like every two or three years we can hit that community. So they know we're going to come back. If we didn't hit this year, we go back the next time. And that's a big step for us is knowing that we can come back in that community and help out the people. Randy Stentz.
Okay. And so actually, as Mike mentioned, the first step in the grant process every year is the public hearings at every town. And then the second step is our target areas. And I do have to give a huge shout out to Megan and her staff, our GIS folks here at the county, because they were tremendous in helping us complete this step. Joel in particular helped us develop some really important waiting lists or maps to reflect these various waiting lists and target areas. So thank you to those guys. So this was actually submitted at the end of January. These are the areas that we will be seeking funds for this year. I'll get into those a little bit more. And so here you'll see kind of a spread. I know it's a little bit difficult to see, but all of our various rural communities are in there. We will be seeking the Diamond Acres community, which is down there in the southern part of the county, Mount Joy in the Millsboro area, Coverdale Crossroads outside of Bridgeville, and Cool Spring in between Melton and Lewis off of Route 9. And so this is kind of what we have, Mike and I and staff have worked on developing our recommended funding requests for each of the various towns. A lot of this is based on the waiting list that they have, the demand of the town, and also sort of the size of the homes and how much on average what we've spent in years past to make a dent in these communities' waiting lists. So for the most part, 80,000 is what we seek for the smaller towns with small waiting lists. Laurel, Melford, Melton, Seaford all have pretty substantial waiting lists, so we are seeking 105,000 for them. And then our county application contains the four rural communities as well as all of our scattered site projects, which is handicap accessibility, which is where the bulk of our ramps and accessible showers come into play are scattered emergency, like heaters, hookups for any water and sewer connections to public utility systems, scattered rehab, and fairly new is scattered roofing, which allows us to really kind of tackle some households with severe leaks on our waiting list, and then we can come back to them for more comprehensive rehab the following year if we need to. So overall, the program activity request is about $1.7 million. CDBG admin funding is $250,000. We are required to put up a dollar-for-dollar match from the county for administration funding, which is the $315,000. And so overall, it's about a $2.3 million program cost for the application. And I did want to just give a brief update on the County Council emergency funding, which you all provide to us every year, which is a huge, tremendous lifesaver. It allows for us to be very flexible, but also respond very quickly. People don't have to wait on the waiting list. This is targeted to households with no running water, no heat, in need of handicap accessibility, leaking roofs, electrical, plumbing issues, that sort of thing. So in the last year, which is the year we officially closed out, you'll see the bulk of those funds went to plumbing repairs, like busted pipes, things like that, electrical work. We see a lot of dangerous situations and potential fire hazards, shower accessibility, roof leaks, those kind of, a lot of wells, new wells to assist with no water, that sort of thing. So in the last couple years, this past year, you provided $300,000. We have already assisted 83 households with that funding this year, and we are well on our way to completing the use of that funding. So that rounds out the end of my presentation. If anybody has any questions before I get to the resolution.
Questions, yeah. Council?
I have a question.
Mrs. Green.
So in the list here, I don't see Greenwood. In the list, someone, does that indicate there's not a need or you don't have a contact person?
So we send out, from Mr. Lawson, letters go out to every single municipality, including Rehoboth Beach, Dewey Beach, all of those. And we seek the town's request to hold a public hearing. We host that public hearing in their town at one of their already scheduled town councils. Greenwood did not seek our assistance this year, so we do follow up with them, and there was just not a request by them to pursue funding this year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One question to council. Okay. We're good.
Okay. More? If not, thank you, Ms. Nauman. Is there anyone here in the public that would like to comment? Yes, come forward, please. Give us your name and address before you speak, please.
Sure. My name's Patricia Galou. I live at 141 October Glory Avenue in Ocean View, Delaware. I'm the head of the St. Vincent de Paul Society out of Bethany Beach and also the vice president of the council, which covers all of Sussex County. And I have worked with Brandy and her staff and have seen people with plumbing issues, roofs taken care of, and handicap ramps. They have done an incredible job. I do know that they have a small staff that works so hard to get to those on the waiting list, but I also know of a number of families that are living with firewood as their only source of heat that live in that Diamond Acres area. People that have had to turn off their electricity because they can't afford to pay for it because of the cost of heat, heating their homes when it's so cold right now. And it has been a really difficult year with COVID with many, many families. We run a food pantry out of our church, at our Lady of Guadalupe Church. We have seen an increase from 60 families a month to 250 families a month. It's not going away. We've seen seniors that have been dramatically affected. We have more seniors coming to our food pantry than ever before. They received an increase in Social Security this year. However, it was adversely affected by a major increase in the cost of Medicare. So they gave and took away at the same time. We are looking forward to working this year through this very, very, very essential program. So thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in this regard? Anyone else? Seeing none in chambers. Operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to speak on this matter, dial 5-star. If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to speak on this matter, dial 5-star.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time we can close public hearing on this matter. Council desires closed public record.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record.
Okay.
You have a motion or something, or two or three?
Yes, please. I have two resolutions for your consideration. I don't know if Mr. Moore, do I read them in their entirety or
just the short
title? Okay. Okay, so the first resolution is recognizing the importance of fair housing with affirmatively furthering fair housing. That's in your packet as well.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Green. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Excellent. The second resolution is the authorization to submit applications.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Green. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
I'm going to vote yes. I just wanted to point out again that, in my opinion, this is, when we talk about, you know, affordable housing and maintaining our stock of affordable housing, I don't know of a better way to do it than this program. And so I am very pleased with the results we've been seeing. So
thank you.
My vote's yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I'll be yes to motion carried. And okay. Randy, thank you and your small staff.
Thank you.
For all the work you do.
Thank you very much.
For the people of this county. I know they all appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Yes. So thank you
all
very much. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. We've had numerous discussions over the past several months concerning the redistricting. We've looked at maps, had many discussions, and we're now going to place the maps on the board. There have been no changes since our last discussion, which occurred in December. We have the maps shown in two ways here, just kind of the color that you've seen, but then there's one that gets a deeper dive into what they look like. Again, there's been no change in what we've presented. As I do have a motion an ordinance prepared today, as I indicated at our last hearing or our last meeting and update, I've prepared the descriptions in three separate ways. As I indicated, I was not pleased with the type of legal description that the software provided, because since we have to use census blocks for determining where the lines go, many of those go across open fields. So we've the first legal description in for each district uses that description, which is similar to what we've used in the past. The second way is actually what the state legislature used, which is a census block description. So it's when you read the descriptions, it gives the first and says, as further described by, and we use the census blocks. And the third method that we've used, we've actually attached maps of each district in the ordinance itself. Now, because of them being small from the purpose of inclusion in our ordinance, we've also got links to the individual maps where the public and any of the council persons can go click on the map, blow it up, and put the additional layers so that you can see roadways and all in the districts. So, Mr. President, I do have an ordinance if you'd like me to read the short title.
Please read the short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to repeal ordinance number 2227 as amended by ordinance number 2243 and chapter 11, sections 11-1 through 11-5 of the Sussex County Code relating to councilmanic election districts and adopting new councilmanic election districts.
I'll introduce it. Mr. Hudson introduced it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Old business, Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have just one item of old business today, and that's change of zone number 1948 filed on behalf of the Grand Canal Point Maintenance Corporation. This is a change of zone application specifically to amend condition number 15 of change of zone number 1548 within the Grand Canal Point RPC. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was at the last council meeting on January 25th, and at the conclusion of that public hearing, County Council deferred action on the application for further consideration.
Any questions of council? Mr. Moore, read short title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential planned community, to an MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential planned community, to amend conditions of approval number 15 of change of zone 1538, ordinance number 1700, and change of zone 1926, ordinance number 2786, in relation to piers, docks, boat ramps, and other water-related recreational facilities for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 180.60 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 7.
Thank you, sir. Any potential amendments? Any amendments? Mr. Schaefer?
President, I may have an amendment. I discussed it with the county attorney. The Planning Commission has, in their most recent recommendation, reworded paragraph 15 of their comments completely. So I don't think I need to make an amendment, but just to be clear what my intent is, I would like to make sure that we are removing any responsibility of the HOA to install a gate or a key fob system at the top of their access point for their boat ramp. I don't think that's, if you read what the Planning Commission has recommended, I think they've already taken that out of there, but I just want to make sure everybody's aware that that's what we're doing.
Okay, is that correct, Mr. Whitehouse?
It's Mr. Moore's question, but there was also, just to point out, there was also a separate request specifically relating to the word RPC within the Commission's recommended wording. That a comment had come up during the public hearing specifically saying that as currently worded, it might prohibit kayaks within the entire RPC, and there was a request to change that word to park, to specifically make it clear that instead of applying to the RPC.
I'll make a motion to make that amendment.
All right, but Mr. Moore, are you in agreement with Mr. Schaefer that the idea with the key fob and the gate has gone away?
In looking at the question, it was number 15, and number 15 appears to be totally redrafted by planning and zoning in its recommendation, and this was part of 15 of the section, so that would appear to be the case, but we want to make sure that is also the understanding with planning and zoning.
That's correct, but because it is silent in the recommended version,
okay. It won't apply. So that first question is taken care of.
That is correct.
The next one about changing the
language
RPC to park, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. And that's going to be your motion to do that?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Moore, have you got that written up, or are you in
yes,
the process?
Where is that, Mr. Whitehouse?
As recommended by the condition 15, and it's in council's paperless packet in the staff memo. It's line 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line. Currently recommended as no storage of kayaks, paddleboards, boats, or other marine equipment shall be permitted along the dock or landward of it within the RPC.
So it should be park.
Should be
locked, so. Yes, that's right. Yes, so in the fifth line, number 15, the RPC should be deleted and the word park inserted.
A motion, Mr. Schaefer, to do that?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on that motion? This is voting on only the amendment. We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Hudson.
Yes.
I'm against. Motion carried. Now then, Mr. Moore, read short title, please.
Yes, thank you. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC medium density residential district residential planned community to an MRRPC medium density residential district residential planned community to amend conditions of approval number 15 of changes zone 1538 ordinance number 1700 and changes zone 1926 ordinance number 2786 in relation to piers, docks, boat ramps, and other water-related recreational facilities for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 180.60 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning number 1 through 7 and as amended by this council.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes based on the reason given by planning and zoning as amended.
Mr. Schaefer.
I also vote yes based on the reason given by planning and zoning as amended.
Mrs. Green.
I vote yes based on recommendation from planning and zoning as amended.
Mr. Riley.
I also vote yes based on recommendation from planning and zoning as amended.
I also will vote yes based on PZ's recommendation as amended. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Introduction to proposed zoning ordinance, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have six today. The first one's Ms. Green's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a B1 neighborhood business district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 0.28 acres, more or less.
I will introduce.
Mrs. Green introduces it.
The next one's Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 43.777 acres, more or less.
Schaefer introduces it.
The next one's also Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C2 medium commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 3.041 acres, more or less.
Mr. Schaefer introduces it.
The next one's also Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium residential district for multifamily 267 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 43.777 acres, more or less.
Schaefer introduces it.
Next one's in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for 703 storage units and outdoor storage for boats and RVs to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 8.424 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the last one's also Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B2 business community district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.564 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
I'll introduce it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Any council member comments? Entertain a motion to an executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will yes. We're not in executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.